Back in September, Ruth and I attended my 40th high school class reunion. It was a wonderful evening, and one of the highlights of that night for me was connecting with a childhood friend that I hadn't seen in a good 30 years. It was great to catch up with him and share how God had worked in my life, and I was grateful to learn that he was a believer too and very active in a local church, and so it was just great to have some conversation with him. But here's what I found so rewarding. As we talked, we kept remembering wonderful times together as kids. He came to my house. We played football and basketball. I would ride bike to his house, and we would do the same. And I remember when his family took me to his father's work annual picnic in Bloomsburg. And my friend said, "Wow, you remember that?" And I said, "Yeah, I remember that. You asked me to go along with your family. That was a wonderful experience." So it's a blessing to remember not just the past, but those who have made such an impact in our lives. And to catch up with a friend I hadn't seen in 30 years and remember some of those old time memories that we had growing up was a truly wonderful experience. Today is Remembrance Sunday. It's always the first Sunday after Halloween, and we recognize and remember those of the church that have passed in the last year. And I think we could all agree that remembrance is at the heart of the Christian faith. The concept of remembrance is extremely important. It's frequently used in Scripture, appearing in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, that we're to remember God's acts and remember the covenant and the promises He has made with us. And through the New Testament as well, as Jesus would institute the Lord's Supper with those words, "Remember, and do this in remembrance of me." So the word "remember" and its variations are used hundreds of times, highlighting its importance for both individual believers and the collective community of faith. And I believe that remembrance helps us to maintain our identity and our relationship with God and with each other, and it is a part of how we worship God together. Philippians is our text today, and that was a letter of Paul that he wrote to the church there at Philippi, and he writes to thank them for the gift that they had given to strengthen the believers that are there, and that joy is a common theme that we find in the book of Philippians. He begins his letter to the church at Philippi. He does so by remembering them in his prayers with thanksgiving and thanking God for their partnership in the gospel. So let's read our text today. It is Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through 6 for our Remembrance Day message. Hear now the word of God. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and the deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. These opening verses set the stage for this letter that Paul is writing, and he's writing with Timothy by his side. Timothy is a young pastor he's mentoring and he's training, and he's writing to a specific group of believers who were very dear to him. This is a church that was very special to him, and so he's writing with a genuine concern for them and a genuine desire to be a blessing to them. He mentioned the overseers, which are the pastors and the elders, the servant leaders of the church, and the deacons as well, the lead servants of the church. And Paul begins with a typical blessing, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And once the stage is sort of set, his message begins in verse 3. And we see his heart poured out in a prayer of thanksgiving and affection and hope. Paul begins his letter with a heartfelt expression of gratitude. I thank my God in all my prayers in remembrance of you. From his very first words of prayer, Paul's joy shines through. He's writing from prison, by the way. He's not sure whether he's going to live or die. Yet he isn't consumed with any complaints or any self-pity. Instead, he's filled with thoughts of the church at Philippi, and every remembrance of them stirs up thanksgiving in his heart. Our first point today is simply this. Remembrance is one way that we thank God for others. Remembrance is one way that we thank God for others. We remember them in prayer. We tell stories about them. We allow their lives to be a witness to us. And that is why today is so important. We remember those that have passed in the last year, and we praise God for their lives. Friends, I can tell you that I can remember clearly all six of those that we are recognizing today, and I do so with joy. And I can't help but praise God for their lives. When I remember Jim Kreider, I remember his love for the Mechanic Grove Church of the Brethren. Oh my, did he love his church. Jim loved his church. He wanted to be here so bad in his final years. And he also loved his family, his beloved Eleanor, and his children and grandchildren. When I remember Charlotte, I remember her love of music of the church, the old hymns of the church, and how much she loved them and her heart for the worship of God. From Mel Schaub, I remember how he was so giving and so generous. He blessed so many people by helping them over his very long life, but he did so very quietly, never wanting to draw attention to himself. For Bill Welch, I remember him for his desire to help anyone he could, and how he made me feel like the best pastor in the world. He did, yeah. And I remember Ken Sechrist with great affection for his simple devotion to the Lord, always encouraging, always smiling, always glad to be with God's people. And I remember Ralph for his love of music, singing, and just being with people. He loved driving, he loved his family more, but boy, did he love the Lord and his church. Six wonderful saints of the church. And I praise God for allowing me to get to know them and be a pastor for them. And by remembering them today, we are praising God. We're praising God for others, those dear ones that he has called home. There's a second point we need to make, and it comes out of verse 4 where Paul says, I always pray for you, and I always pray with joy. And the point is simply this, praying with and for others is a joy. Praying with and for others is a joy. This is the first time that the word joy is used in this letter. And in the four chapters of Philippians, Paul's going to use the word joy or rejoice 16 times. Paul prayed for joy for the church at Philippi. He counted it a blessing to pray for others. And I can tell you in my 3 years as your pastor, I have prayed with and for each of these saints many times. And what a joy it was to do so. I loved praying with Jim Kreider. Oh, he was a joy to pray with. I would pray with him and I would hold his hand. And when I was done, he would continue to hold my hand and he would then pray for me. Amazing. Charlotte knew that being prayed for was one of the ways that the church could help her through her struggles. And I believe it was our prayers for her that kept her so positive as she faced the final days of her life. I appreciated my many times of meeting with Mel at Willow Valley and praying with him. And here's what I remember about that. He never asked me to pray for him. He always asked me to pray for someone else, whether it's one of his children or grandchildren or maybe for Marilyn, his son Brian. It was always somebody else, never for himself. Even in our prayer time, he was thinking of others. And I still remember praying with Bill in the hospital. He was unable to speak, but his grip was oh so firm. Physically, he was losing the battle, but spiritually, he was drawing strength from his tremendous family and all of us who were praying for him. Ken was quiet. He was quiet, but he knew he was loved and valued by the church when we prayed for him. I can remember one time Ken was hospitalized, and I went to the hospital and visited him and prayed with him, prayed over him in the hospital. And he finally got back to church, and I remember the first Sunday he was back that he greeted me after the service, and he said to me, thank you. Thank you for praying for me while I was in the hospital. He remembered. And Ralph, I remember him visiting him in his home just about 2 weeks before he passed. We had a great visit. I learned so much more about Barb and Ralph in that visit and Ralph's amazing life. But as that visit concluded, we prayed together. And Ralph had tears in his eyes when the prayer ended. Think about it, friends. What a privilege we have to pray with and for others. And it's not a privilege reserved just for the pastors or for the staff. That's a ministry we all have. we all can be praying with and for each other. Praying with others and for others is a joy. There's a third point we want to make today, and that comes right out of verse 5. There, Paul continues to praise God because of the partnership in the gospel that he's had with the Philippian church. And the point is this: today we remember those who are partners in the gospel. These six were indeed partners in the ministry of the church, in the gospel ministry of the Mechanic Grove Church of the Brethren. Those who served alongside us in advancing God's kingdom, and now God has called home. And I think we could all agree that these six were extremely faithful partners in the gospel. Jim Kreider, along with his wife Eleanor, faithfully served here at Mechanic Grove for years. As deacons, they served the congregation through the caring ministries of the church. For years, Jim donated the beef that's used for our love feast celebration. They were partners in the gospel. They loved Jesus, they loved this church, and they gave of their time, talent, and treasure to see the gospel grow right here at Mechanic Grove Church of the Brethren. Charlotte was the same way. She faithfully gave of her time and talent and treasure to the Lord and His church. And Mel partnered in the gospel with his quiet service and very faithful giving. Bill Welch partnered in the work of the gospel by being a servant to so many here and in this community. Bill loved our men's banquet, and he always invited men from the community. And he would, buy 25 tickets and hand them out to people in the community so that they would come and be at our men's banquet. And he did so hoping that through his efforts, someone might come to know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. He evangelized by serving, and he did it very, very well. Ken was a partner in the gospel by simply being active and engaged in the life of the church. He was quiet. He was not a leader per se, but he followed the Lord so well that we took notice. His simple devotion to the Lord was a powerful witness that made him a partner in the gospel. And Ralph Kreider used his voice in singing his praise to the Lord, just one of the many ways that he served as a partner in the gospel. Why is Paul so thankful? Why is Paul so thankful for the partnership that he has had with the Philippian church in the gospel ministry? Well, look again at what verse 5 tells us. It gives us the source for Paul's thankfulness and joy. He says that he offers prayer with joy in view of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. The word partnership here comes from the Greek word koinonia, which is often translated in Scripture as fellowship. And so when we talk about partnership in the gospel here, we're talking about something deeper than simply Christian fellowship. Active participation, relational connectedness, that's what Paul's getting at. That's the kind of relationship they had. They weren't just passive recipients of the gospel. They just didn't do the bare minimum. The Philippian church was actively engaged in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And from the very beginning, they stood by Paul. They supported his ministry, and they prayed for him, and they gave sacrificially. Their partnership in the gospel brought Paul incredible joy. Incredible joy. Because it reminded him that he wasn't alone. He wasn't alone in the gospel mission, the ministry of the church. He had a wonderful support network. These people were indeed partners in his ministry. Think about it for a moment. Isn't there something deeply encouraged about knowing that others are with you in the work of the Lord? We weren't created to live the Christian life in isolation. God designed us to be a part of the community of faith. That's why we enjoy being together on Sunday morning, so we can worship the Lord together and be a partner in ministry together. That's why church matters. That's why community matters. When we come together to serve and to give and to pray, joy begins to grow and it begins to flourish in ways it never could on its own. I think we can all agree that in their own unique way, using their gifts and talents and abilities, Jim and Charlotte and Bill and Mel and Ken and Ralph were outstanding partners in the gospel. You want to find true joy in your walk with the Lord, you'll find it in serving and giving in community with other believers. Joy flourishes when we share in God's mission together. Paul's gratitude overflows into a confidence assurance in verse 6, where he writes, "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus." What an encouragement this must have been for the Philippian believers when they read this letter And what encouragement for us today. Paul's confidence wasn't in their abilities or efforts, it was in God's faithfulness. He knew that God, who started a work of transforming them, would continue to do so, continue to transform to be like Jesus, as we talked about over the last 7 weeks, until the day of completion. This verse is such a beautiful reminder for us today that there are moments where we feel like we're falling short or perhaps we're struggling to stay faithful, but Paul's words remind us that the work of salvation and sanctification doesn't rest on our shoulders alone. God is the one who begins the work, and God is the one who will complete it. His faithfulness is what sustains us. And friends, that's a reason for joy. So let me ask you, when was the last time you stopped to thank God for the people in your life who have partnered with you in the gospel ministry? Maybe it's a friend who prays with you regularly, or maybe it's a small group that supports you through life's ups and downs, or someone who've led you to faith. Take a moment this week to pray for them and express gratitude to them. They are your partners in the ministry, in the gospel ministry, and joy flourishes when we share in God's mission together and in his partnership in the gospel. There's one last point we need to make, and it's based on verse 6. There, Paul says, those we remember are now complete in Christ. Those we are remembering this morning are now complete in Christ. We are a work in progress as long as we have life in this world. As long as we're active and breathing, we are a work in progress. But we are made complete in Christ when we breathe our last and are welcomed into the loving arms of Jesus Christ. No doubt with the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. When we pass on to eternity, only then are we complete in Christ. Paul, in his second letter, actually his final letter to 2 Timothy, he writes to that young pastor and he tells the importance of remaining faithful in the Lord's service. 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8, he says, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but to all who have longed for his appearing. Paul realizes that his life is about to end, that his journey towards Christ's likeness is coming to an end. He will be complete in Christ. And I dare say that for these six saints whose lives were lived so well before us, that they too received a crown of righteousness when they were made complete in Christ. Their work was done. Their journey had ended. But their influence and example remain as we continue to remember them. Ephesians 1, chapter 1, verses 15 to 16 says, for this reason, since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. That's why we recognize the saints today. Their faith endured to the end when they were indeed made complete in Jesus Christ. So may our lives and our legacy of faith encourage us to finish the race God has for us and to finish it well. Let me close with this story. There was a single woman who became a missionary to China. But when the Japanese army invaded during World War II, she was forced to flee. But she loved the orphans she worked with so much that she couldn't bear to leave them. So with only one assistant to help her, she led more than 100 children over the mountains to reach freedom. In the book, The Hidden Price of Greatness, the author tells us the unknown but true story of the struggle which Gladys Aylward fought with herself. During Gladys's harrowing journey out of war-torn Yangchen, she grappled with despair as never before. After passing a sleepless night, she faced the morning with no hope of reaching safety. But a 14-year-old girl in the group reminded her of one of the stories that the orphans loved from Scripture. The story of Moses and the Israelites crossing the Red Sea. But Gladys said, but I'm not Moses, as she cried in desperation. And the little girl said, of course you aren't, but God is still God. And what saved Gladys from plunging into the depths of despair was remembering that God is still God. May we remember the faithfulness, not just of these saints, but also of many who have gone before us. Some of you have lost loved ones in the last year, friends, family members, people you've known. We want to continue to remember them. But even more so, we want to remember the faithfulness of God. Because the same God who worked in the lives of these six saints we're remembering today is working in your life and my life. He's working in a way that we will someday be made complete in Christ, the day God calls us home. So may we remember and remain faithful to our Lord Jesus Christ, just like Jim, just like Charlotte, just like Bill, just like Mel, just like Ken and Ralph. Let us remain faithful to our Lord Jesus Christ as we remember. To the praise of his glory, amen, so be it, amen. Let us pray. Father, we are thankful for the faithfulness of these six saints. You've called them home in this past year, and we recognize that they are not forgotten, but they are remembered with thanksgiving and with joy. And as we remember them, we worship you. We say thank you for their lives. Thank you for their partnership in the gospel ministry. Thank you for the example and the influence they have had upon us. But Lord, we'd ask that you would continue to grow us in the image of Christ for the sake of others. Help us to continue to become more and more like Jesus as we partner with one another in the gospel ministry. Help us to be faithful to that calling of serving one another, of representing Christ to one another, of being Christ to those in our community. And help us to be inspired again by the example of these faithful saints who have gone before us. May you indeed find us faithful today as we continue to grow in the image of Jesus Christ for the very sake of others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.